Hey, hang on, Lois. Give me two of those round balls of butter and a breadstick. You'll see where I'm heading with this. Okay, look. Here's what you want. Here's what you got.
I'm very happy with what I got.
Well, maybe I can give you half a breadstick later.
As long as you don't mind a little marinara dipping sauce.
That's absolutely disgusting. And I love it.
Welcome to Paragaming Productions, episode 163, filmed on Valentine's Day. Hey, let's get after it, shall we? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2023, and I decided I was going to film the next episode on Parrot Gaming Productions, episode 163, all about dumb shit. Now, I don't know about you, but I am like, okay, you know what, you just listen. I don't have a new obsession, but I have an obsession.
Ships on vigor of the waves of scam and barren summits to the verdant plains. Each horizon is a new beginning, rise and reign. Far from the fjords and the ice-cold currents, brave and soar over new frontiers. Songs and sagas of a fate determined, shields and spears. Vows of favor.
So that what you're listening to is Peyton Parrish. Well, actually, it's a song called Valhalla Calling. The sound of miracle, I think, is what it was called. And it's Peyton Parrish. You've got bass, and then the sound of music. The guy ends up doing it, and it's three guys basically doing an a cappella version of essentially what is Viking fucking music, right? Now, I don't know what has gotten in my little domey McDome donor son, but I have that just I can't fucking not listen to this goddamn music. It is ridiculously insane. I've been on this kick where it's just I have to listen to this fucking banger music, where I just can't get away the fact that just these Viking gods fucking. I gotta form this sentence correctly here. One second. Okay, so it's called Valhalla Calling, an a cappella trio version written by The Miracle of Sound, Peyton Parrish, and that bass voice. So The Miracle of Sound, I guess, is just a dude who does like this really cool music. And then Peyton Parrish is kind of like this heavy metal. I don't want to call him like heavy metal, but like he's maybe a metal Viking musician. And then that bass voice, the dude's just got a bassy, like his voice is deep as shit. And so I've been a fan, a lot of you have probably known that I've been a fan of the Assassin's Creed series, right? Like, I've been such a huge fan of Assassin's Creed for the longest time that I started off with Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And when I hit Black Flag, like, it was just so cool to be a pirate. It was ridiculously awesome to be able to be, an assassin as well, too. And it kind of kickstarted the series for me. I wasn't that big of a fan of 1, 2, and 3. The storyline wasn't really kind of there. I like the fact that with these newer Assassin's Creeds, you basically are just, like, this dude thrown into shit. Like, that was one of the cool things about all the newer ones, is that you're literally just thrown into these random... these random encounters, like with Edward, like with, God, what is his name? I think it's just Edward Norton, I think is the guy that you play. And he was literally just a pirate, right? He was literally just a pirate. He gets shipwrecked. Like your first mission is there's this cool cutscene where your pirate ship takes on a man of war. Now, if you don't know what a man of war was, way back in the day, man of wars were basically the ship to fight against. Like, if you were on a ship that was out to do battle, you wanted to be on a man of war. And with these man of wars, it was just ridiculous. They were big. They had so many guns. Like, you get to fight a couple of them in the game, too, and it's fucking amazing because these things are these big, brute fucking machines, and you're in this tiny little galleon, pretty much, and you're like, how the fuck am I going to win? But that's besides the point. So you get shipwrecked on this island. You're basically in your skivvies, essentially, is what it is. And then you find this dude, and you're like, hey, wait up, man. Like, we're on this island. We shipwrecked on this island alone. We should probably get teamed together and, like, try not to die. And you chase this guy through the jungle of this island. Well, it turns out he's an assassin. He's like, find my people and carry on the legacy. And you basically, because you're a pirate, and you're like, this dude's got some good shit here. And then you pretend to be this assassin who was actually double-crossing the Brotherhood and was actually going to go fight for the Templars. And it was really cool because, like, the Templars, they pretty much know that you're not the guy. They pretty much know that you're not who you said you were. Like, immediately there's suspicion. And you're like, these guys, they don't know yet. And then, well, what ends up happening is that you become a full-fledged assassin because you try to blend with the Templars. The Templars, they know you're full of shit. And so what they do is they fuck you over. And then the Assassin's Creed is pretty much like, don't worry, brother, we'll take you in. But, like, it kickstarted the game because it was so well-written. It was done so well. There were, like, side little games that you could play. There was these cool little missions that you could do. And just, I'm not going to lie, like, dropping from the top of a building, slamming somebody down, putting your blade between their, like, up into their skull, and then retracting it, and then, like, nobody sees you, and you just get up and then walk away, like, it was nothing. Like, there are some assassins, there are some assassinations that were really cool, because, like, you could walk up behind somebody as you're walking in the streets, you'd have your hood up, you're just walking, you'd literally bump into the guy, just put your blade up into the dude's throat, and he'd go, ah, like, he'd grab his neck, and he would just walk on like nothing happened. And it just, you looked so incognito while doing this shit, it was insane. Like, the assassinations were so cool, the way the game was blended, the environment, how you use things, just everything about the game was fucking brilliant and epic to the nth degree, and I fucking lived for it, man. And Assassin's Creed was this big, beautiful game that was luscious and full of life and full of entertainment. And, like, the game was so good. The game was so good. It had the most quintessential ending. And, like, his whole reason for being an assassin, his whole reason to be an assassin was because he wanted to get his daughter back. He didn't care about anything else. He just wanted to make a life for himself so that way he could live with his daughter. And the end scene, dude, I'm almost crying thinking about it. The end scene is literally him and his daughter sailing away in his ship as he's an assassin. And he's like, we're going to make a life for you, honey. It is beautiful. It is gorgeous. Like, you want to talk about a good fucking ending? That is an ending to a video game. That is an ending to a video game where literally throughout the whole game, he's like, I want you guys to be aware that I'm not doing this for some cause. I'm not trying to be a badass. I'm not trying to shape the world as it is. He's like, I just want to make some fucking money and sail away with my kid and live a beautiful, happy life. And he gets that in the end. He overcomes all odds. He becomes like a leader in the Assassin's Creed. You hire like all these famous pirates, and all these famous pirates like have your six and they have your back, and they're all like excited to be with you. And then at the end, you're literally just like, you're telling your daughter that you love them, and then you sail away. Would you chill your tits, bring it down, like two or three. Yeah, like I'm filming this at like 10:45 in the morning, so the boys are actually awake, they're actually alive and well, and I have to combat their little noises, because for once in a lifetime, like, I'm actually not doing phone calls this morning. But it was pretty brilliant. It was pretty brilliant. And I remember, I think it was then they did Assassin's Creed London. I forget what that one was called, but you were basically an assassin in London, and you met like Benjamin Franklin. You met a bunch of these really cool historical figures that were in London of the time, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, makes this cool little tool where it's basically your grappling hook. And the game had a really neat premise. It was really cool. It was really set in London for the era. You know, you basically started out as a London gang member and you progressed further and further into the story. It was really cool. It was really in depth. It was gorgeous of a game, actually. I mean, even though it's like a really drab and dreary kind of, you know, Assassin's set, but I mean, that's what England is. That's what London was. It's a very rainy, very dark town. I mean, like, I get more sun here in Wisconsin than they do all year round. And then I think the next one after that was Odyssey. It was either Assassin's Creed Odyssey or it was the Egypt one where you're Baik, which is I played both of them. The thing that really set me off with the Roman one is that they had these legionnaires or these hunters. I want to call them hunter killer drones, like from Terminator. But like these legionnaires would roam the countryside, and like if you know because you were running around and the laws were so strict and everything like that, like basically they would place a bounty on you. So like as you completed your Assassin's Creed missions, your bounty would get higher and higher, and these legionnaires would hunt you down. The only problem with the Legionnaires is that, essentially, with the Legionnaires that you fought, they are always, like, 3 to 4 levels above you. And this is when Assassin's Creed got a little bit more combat interesting. Because I played Hellblade Senua's Revenge, and I think I bitched about that. I'm not entirely 100% sure if I bitched about that or not. I gotta check my notes. See, like, a lot of people are like, hey, remember that podcast that you did? And I'm like, no, I don't. Which one did I do? What did I do in said podcast, right? So, if you ever think I remember what I record and what I... So, small little insight before I check my notes. If you think I remember 90% of what I do in the podcast, I don't. One of the coolest ever interviews I ever did was with Girl Thulu. And the reason why I say it was a great interview is because I know there's a guy who wanted to interview her, and he couldn't interview her because the mutual friend of Girl Thulu that we both knew, it was really, really funny because he's got the massive hots for her, and like basically he's got this huge crush on her, and he was being a total douchebag to our, you know, the mutual friend of ours with Girl Thulu. And I was just like, hey man, do you want to hook me up? And like, you know, see if you can just name drop and be like, hey, I got a buddy that would like to do a podcast with you. And she was like, sure. And then we had a good little time when she was deathly ill out there. But like, I don't remember much of what we talked. I know we talked about our cats and you know, the visitors on the podcast, but I don't think I ever talked about Senua's Revenge. Cause I'm fucking livid, or I vented like a motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I vented about that. But I'll talk about Senua's Revenge here in a minute. Would you chill your tits? Chill your tits. Bring it down, son Conyer. Thank you. So anyways, so in the Roman Legionnaire, like, combat was fairly heavily emphasized. What was that game? Dark Souls, you know, like Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, and then Elden Ring, where it's like parry, parry, parry. Like, it's not just hack and slash. No, I don't mind a little hack and slash, but I'm just not very good at like the whole parry and the timing events and stuff like that. I mean, they make it fairly easy in Valhalla, but when it happened in the Roman, in the Assassin's Creed, you know, Legion or whatever the fucking Roman Odyssey. There we go. The Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I didn't mind it. It just, I didn't like the fact that like you would go to an area, there'd be like a big boss man, and it's like level 50, and you're like, dude, I'm in a power zone of 20. I barely beat 30s. Like, I can beat 30s if I like actually try. Like, I have to legitimately put forth effort into it, and I don't mind a game that's hard. I really don't mind a game that's hard. The biggest problem I have with a game is that I don't like it to be too difficult. You know, like, if I want to, like, I remember when I started out with Fallout 4, right? Like, I started on fucking, I'm a baby. Like, meow, easy. Like, you sneeze in the right, if you sneeze in the right direction, all the bad guys die. Like, that's how easy I started. And now I'm on, like, hardcore. Like, I'm legitimately doing hardcore runs on the game where I am one step. I could probably beat the game on the hardest difficulty. I just don't want to put myself through hell. I am thinking of restarting the Can You Beat series. I legitimately am starting. I kind of want to start the Can You Beat series again and restart it. But that was a lot of time and effort that I don't have anymore. But, like, I don't want a game to be too difficult, and I also don't want a game to be too easy. And, like, I kind of like it right in the middle, and that's what Odyssey was. It was just too difficult. It just wasn't fun anymore. And the way that they started to do combat, especially when they did, the Assassin's Creed... Now I gotta look it up because I want to give you guys the answers. Assassin's Creed, the game series. Yeah, they did. Oh, I think it was Brotherhood. I know there's like a fuck ton of them out there. Welcome into the Assassin's Creed universe. Yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey was the one where you were Roman. Assassin's Creed Origins was with Bayek, and that was when you were the What? There was another one called Assassin's Creed Mirage? Oh, that's the newest one that's coming out. Okay. Valhalla, like, just came out, though. Valhalla just came out. And now they're doing another one? Fucking okay. And it's set, I guess, in ancient Turkey or something like that is what it looks like? Okay. But yeah, so, I'm sorry. Here we go. Let me try this again. So there's Black Flag, which was 4. Unity and Syndicate were the ones that were set in London. So Unity was set in France. Syndicate was the one set in Britain. I didn't play Unity. I played Syndicate because that was the one that I liked. I don't know why I skipped Unity. And then I played a little bit of Origins and Odyssey. Origins is the one set in Egypt. Odyssey is the Roman one. But Origins was fun. I wasn't a big fan of the way that they did Origins in Egypt. Like, if you know the Assassin's Creed game, you know that it's kind of like, it's, you know, like getting high up on a tower, you know, like doing this, like it made things a little bit less interesting, with the way that they did the game. But I was impressed by it. They took a cool vantage point. Like, 'cause in Origins, you got to be a male or female. And you had this hawk that basically followed you around that was cool. I don't think that you had the hawk in Odyssey. I just know that you were like a Roman legionnaire. In Valhalla, you have a crow or a raven, I think, that like flies around and can spot shit for you. It's pretty cool. And in Valhalla, you get to be male or female, which is kind of cool. You can tattoo the fuck out of yourself, which is dope as shit. I think it's just war paint that they're doing. It's not actually... We good? Are we good? Okay. I don't think it's actual tattoos, but it's maybe more or less war paint, but like some of the tattoos are really cool. But the biggest thing that I'm not a fan of is the combat. I'm not good at that kind of like block, parry, and move. Like, I'm just kind of hack and slash and dodge every so often. I do like the game though, because you can adjust a lot of your sliders and adjust a lot of the shit that you got going on there. There's a lot of things that happen in the game, and it's really kind of cool, and it's really interesting because the way that the game plays out is it's pretty fucking fun, to be completely honest with you. It's pretty decent and exciting and entertaining. I'm not good at all with the combat. I've died quite a few times. I've never successfully gotten the dodge, block, parry kind of thing. I'm getting a little better at it. But I guess we should talk about Senua's Revenge, shall we? Because I feel like that deserves a little bit of chat there. So Senua's Revenge is from the Hellblade series. Revenge. Ah, yeah, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. Sorry, that's the game. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Now, this is a game. This is a game done by Ninja Theory, I guess, is what it's called. Apparently, it's from 2017. I didn't know that. It was done by the Brits. Did not know that. All right. Well, it was on the Xbox Live, and you get it for being a part of you get it for basically just being a part of Xbox, right? I don't know if Hellblade is a series of games, if it was something else, but basically you're this girl with, like, schizophrenia to the max. Like, you have... There are things... There are absolutely things wrong with you. God, would you chill, fuckers? Chill. There are absolute... Like, this girl has got at least 15 voices in her head. At least 15. The game is interesting, although combat is a little different. It is very much the block, parry, move, dodge, dip, dive, duck, you know, and I'm a mouse and keyboard guy and a guy. I think this is a game that I need to do with a controller, just like I'm doing with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I think this is more of a controller kind of game. And I'm not severely opposed to it, but the game doesn't tell you at all what to do. Like, at all. You know what? You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to post it. I think I've got the video, and I'm going to leave a link in the description. But I'm going to post my rage quit for Senua's Sacrifice, because, like, the game is beautiful. The game is absolutely beautiful. I like the storyline. I like where it's headed. I like the intricacies of the game. I like where everything is going with it. It seems like it's going to be a game that's going to have a lot of positives into it and a lot of negatives, but it doesn't teach me what I have to do. And that's something that I really don't like about the game, is that, like, you just go into combat. Like, it doesn't have, and I was talking with Natalie about this the other day, it doesn't have a combat tutorial. Now, I don't want, like, an Assassin's Creed Valhalla 4-hour introduction, right? Like, I don't need that 4-hour hold my hand step by step, let me walk you through legitimately everything kind of thing. I want, like, a quick little 30 set. I want, like, maybe a 20 minute introduction where you start off, you have a bunch of good gear, the other guy's got some good gear, and you're basically like, this is the basics of combat, this is the basics, and then, like, you have many little tutorials on the way there. Can we take two? Is that possible? Can we take, like, 20 seconds to just relax and not scream and not lose our minds over things we see on a daily basis? You see the finches, you see the ravens, you see all the other birdies that are out there. You know the cats. They live underneath our trailer because everybody and their mother, brother, and sister let these cats just live out there. You know them, you see them, you know the kids, you know the bus schedule. We can be calm. Yeah, we can be calm, can't we? Are we aware of this stuff? Then why do we have to scream while Dad is talking? Are we going to be good? Are we going to be good? Can I go back to the podcast? Okay, I'll take that as a yes. So, it doesn't teach you anything. Like, it doesn't teach you anything at all about how to combat, how to do this. And the first boss that I fight is the Flame God, basically. He's the Flame Devil. And I was doing really good. I was blocking, I was parrying. I got him down, and then I got him to, like, his final state, where basically, like, he just bursts into fire. Like, he's just fire, and you can't hit him. Well, there's this little medallion on the side of you that, because it's over the right shoulder view, right? And there's this little medallion that glows blue. And when it glows blue, you can be like, Fusurada! And, like, emit, like, an energy blast or something like that, because you're fucking cursed or whatever. And it doesn't tell you what to do. It doesn't tell you anything at all what to do. And so, literally, like, if you watch the video of the game, if you watch the video, I literally downloaded the game. Like, I'd show you everything and how I played the game. If I would have had the wherewithal to know that this was going to happen, I would have, like, just downloaded the game and, like, ran straight into it with you. Because, I mean, like, I did look at the controls, but, like, I was just like, all right, what are the basics, right? The game is going to teach me a little bit about what I need to know, and then it's going to let me off into the universe. Like with most games, it teaches you just enough to be dangerous, and then you learn throughout the rest of the series. Well, this game starts off with a gorgeous opening sequence of you basically, you're in a canoe, I guess you could call it. Like, it's not really a canoe, to be completely 100% candid with you. It's not a canoe. It's a log that is hollowed out, and that, it, you know, it's not shaped or anything. Like, literally, it looks like she just kind of carved into the log and basically said, this is my canoe now, and I gotta go have a conversation with you. Can we stop? Thank you. So, it's not. Are we done? You are quiet while I work. You're quiet while I'm selling what I gotta sell. Can we shut the fuck up? And bring it down two or three notches? Sure, go to your hidey hole. Go in your little hidey hole if that's... Yeah, go to bed. Go to bed. Go on. Go to bed. There you go. So, yeah, you were literally in this tree that I guess she had felled. And she has essentially just kind of made like a hollowed out section for herself. And as you're riding through to, I guess it's Valhalla or whatever. I don't know where the fuck. I don't really know. You're like riding to the corpse hall or something like that. Like, you're trying to find your love, the love of your life, I guess. And you're trying to, like, break him out of corpse hall, you know, which is where all the dead people go, which is Valhalla, I guess. And, like, you roll into this place. You roll up to it. There's a lot of dead people around. It looks like it's war-torn. You listen to one of the main voices that's in your head talk to you. And then, you know, there's all the other voices around you. And it's like, if you have 7.1 surround sound capabilities, put that shit on. It fucks with you so hard. It fucks with you so hard. Because, like, you can hear the voices in all different directions. It is definitely something you want to play with headphones on. And it was just really, really glorious. And it was really interesting because as I was going through the game, like, combat, I learned kind of a little bit on the combat. But I fought this guy. And I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to beat him? And, like, I thought, like, I could dodge him a bunch of times. Well, it turns out, because I finally fucking, I think I died, like, 7 or 8 times. When I was like, I can't defeat him. I can't figure out what the fuck is going on. Like, I don't know what's happening right now. I don't understand why I can't defeat this guy. It doesn't give me any information whatsoever. And I didn't even notice the little glowing talisman that I had on my hip. That would have been the thing that I needed to do to spark the... Oh, here we go. Everybody dies when I can defeat his armor with this. I didn't know that that's what I needed to hit. And it upsets me when the game doesn't give you the basics of it. Like, I was talking with Natalie about this, and I don't want a 4-hour tutorial. I don't. I also don't want a... I don't know how to describe it, but, like, I don't... I don't want a 30-second tutorial that tells me... I don't want something that tells me nothing. I want, like, a 5 to 10 minute tutorial that teaches me all the basics of what I'm going to need to know, and that's it. This is how you parry. Parry 3 times. Good job. This is how you heavy attack. Heavy attack 3 times. This is how you light attack. Great. This is what... See this little meter here? If this thing fills up, you have this special. Some enemies, like bosses, have this thing that happens. And if you use your special, you'll be Fusara! And it's going to hurt them. Or it's going to take away that special ability that they have. Welcome to Combat 101. Have a good rest of your fucking day. Nope. Your introduction to combat is you fight these antler demons that, like, when you defeat them, they poof into black mist. And then one of them comes back as a Black Mist, and you're like, well, you basically have to die to him. It's your first death. You die at least once in this game, and it's like you've been cursed. And the more you die, the worse the curse gets. And once the curse consumes your body, it's game over. And so that's it. Like, it doesn't tell you a whole lot of anything else about the game. And so that's what pisses me off, is that it just, you know, it doesn't tell you shit. Like, I would have not known how to parry unless I had read the instructions, right? And like, even the instructions, like, I'm just looking for those basics. Again, I don't need a 4-hour introduction to the Assassin's Creed I don't need the 4-hour introduction that Assassin's Creed usually is good at. I also don't want a 2-second introduction. I want a good solid 5 to 10 minutes that tells me the very basics of the game. Or like in Fallout 4, it's like, hey, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. This is what you do. Oh, guess what? Now that you can build a settlement, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. So, you know, like, I want you to teach me as I go, or teach me the bare bones basics as I start. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's very long-winded because the assholes wanted to be assholes. They're sulking. They're sulking in their little hidey hut now because I was mad at them. Like, I don't mind. I don't mind when they're out. I don't mind when they talk. But it's just, when I'm talking and it's the constant chirping in the background, boys, you gotta be calm. You gotta be calm. I'm gonna give them a chip here in a second. I feel really, really bad. I feel really, really bad. But the reason why I told you what I told you, and the reason why I wanted to talk about Assassin's Creed, is because I've been getting force-fed a lot of how do I put this? I've been getting a lot of YouTube shorts of these girls dressing in I've been getting a lot of these girls putting on makeup, right, as they do. I've been watching them put on these Viking music. It's basically a YouTube short where there's this Viking music in the background. These girls are doing their makeup as Viking people, right? And then I got fed this one girl. Her name is Queen of Vikings, right? And I'm looking at her, and she's like your basic bitch. She's your basic gothic bitch. And it's so annoying. So there's this, I'm gonna go to it, because I want to make fun of it enough. So let's go to my history of the YouTubes, and nope. Okay, so if we go back to the Valhalla Calling, she's watching the guys do it, and she's got her makeup done. She's got the massive cat, like, okay, don't get me wrong, she's got the cute black cat eyes going on. She's got the half white and half black hair. She's kind of dancing around, jiggling with it, because she's got new AirPods and she's finally excited. She's singing along with it. She's kind of dancing with it, and it's, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, oh, whatever, we're listening to the song. It's a weird TikTok. Great. And then she gets a little childish and excited, and then she goes very wide-eyed, and then the bass guy kicks in, and she gets, like, over-exaggerated, and she starts to kind of freak out like a child. And one of the little things that come out is she does the baby T-Rex arms, right? She does the little baby T-Rex arms as she's trying to flap and fly away. And then she starts to act like a child. Like, she is seriously dancing and prancing around like a child. Jumps back into, you know, hardcore grinding out. And then she does this little happy dance and called it the Happy Stims. I don't know what a happy stim is. And this is why I can never get over into TikTok. This is why I could never get into TikTok. Because I had to go to her webpage. I had to go to her TikTok. And I had to look at her. And she is your dollar store Viking. I wouldn't even call her dollar store Viking goth chick. She's just your dollar store goth. That's what I would call her. The dollar store goth. Like, going through her profile literally says, "Welcome to the Simp Army. Business email, @gmail.com." She's apparently part of Twitch. And she's always got the black lipstick. She's got the half black, half blonde, half silverish hair. And looking at some of the way she dresses and the way that she goes about things. I live in a trailer park, all right? Like, I'm trailer park trash. I'm not gonna lie. But apparently she's 24, 25. And this woman is straight trailer park. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard the term, like, you can take the girl out of the trailer park, but you can never take the trailer park out of the girl. Like, that's her. That's her. And it's funny because she calls it, like, does she actually sing with them? No, she doesn't. She's got this one here called Duet, where she's duetting My Mother Told Me with all the guys, and she's not even singing. Like, there's no singing. She's lip syncing. And it's also really interesting because, like I said, going back to that dollar store goth is what she is. She rarely dresses in anything more than a very ratty t-shirt, some fucking weird, like, looking through her page, like, I see what she's going for, and it just doesn't work. I hate to be that way, but it's like, you can take the trailer park out of the girl, you can't take the trailer park out of the girl. Yeah, you can take the girl out of the trailer park, but not the trailer park out of the girl. And, like, it's really sad. Because I feel like if she cleaned up just a little bit extra, she could go for what she went for. And everything I've seen on her page, because I've watched a few of her videos trying to figure out what's going on, I don't understand TikTok. I'm not, like, trying to, like, okay, I'm 100% making fun of her. I'm 110% making fun of her. But I don't understand TikTok. I get it. It's algorithms. I get it. It's things. But, like, when I watch my YouTube shorts, like, there's certain things that I look for, right? Is it a comedy piece? Great. Is it a tiny piece of, like, cool gaming? Like, I gotta watch certain things. And I noticed this the other day about Landmark. So Landmark is a big YouTuber, and apparently he plays a lot of Tarkov, right? All of his thumbnail clips are exactly the fucking same. And, like, I look at it, and I'm like, ooh, what is this? What is it? Why is he so excited? Why is he blown away? And I look at it, and it's like a 25-minute video. And it's like, what is 25 minutes of epicness? Right? Like, I remember I did my own Escape from Tarkov videos, and I was like I found out, like, the videos are really, like, at longest a minute if I really want. Natalie Alter is demon hot. She does a drum cover of the BFG Division OST Doom, and she's wearing this very nice low-cut shirt, and the jiggles are very real with it. I apologize, I got distracted. But Landmark does this thing where, yeah, in every single, what? Why? So he does this, I'm fucking super distracted today. You know, it's funny because I remember Jake told me that he was, like, super surprised that I can just sit down and do a podcast. And, like, this is legitimately just doing the podcast, sitting down and doing it. Like, I'm not fucking... I had three thoughts here. I legitimately had three thoughts. And then I didn't, because real hot goth girl doing real hot goth girl things on a drum gets me distracted. But any who's and what's it's, when I looked at Landmark's kind of, like, little thumbnails and shit like that, like, I'm like, what could be awesome for 24 minutes? You know, no, like at best, it's like a 2 minute thing. Like in Tarkov, like last night, I wish I would have recorded that entire last thing that me and a buddy of mine, Rays, did, because like we got into 3 firefights. We legitimately got into 3 fucking firefights, and it was fucking ridiculous. And it was all of like 30 seconds. Like I could have boiled the firefight down into like at longest a minute clip, at longest a middle clip. And it was just because there wasn't that much that went into it. But anyways, going back to the dollar store goth girl here, like, and TikTok, like the trends that people are going on and the way that people are doing things and the happy stims, like, it's kind of cute if you do the little T-Rex, you know, the little T-Rex hands or something like that in a moment. But like the trends of, I'm becoming a grumpy old man. That's what it is. I'm becoming a grumpy old motherfucking man. Because I don't understand the cringy nature of what today's little shorts are doing. I don't understand a lot of what's going on with them. I'm not 100% into whatever the hell is happening out there, and it's just a little confusing for me because I don't get the flaunting all your quote unquote disabilities that you may or may not have that may or may not be made up. You know, the basically flying in everybody's face. Like, I remember the days. Like, I see this meme or this little cartoon out there all the time where, you know, it's like, hey Tony, how's it going? I feel like killing myself, John, to be honest with you. And you know, John is like, dude, you're supposed to just say I'm doing okay and then give me a thumbs up and move on. And like, I guess I'm a broken fucking record, or I guess like that's kind of how it is. Like, you know, when people are like, how you doing, man? You know, and I'm like, I'm just happy to be alive today, you know? And they're like, man, is everything okay? Is everything going on? And it's like, nah, dude, like, I'm tired as shit. You know, like, I'm tired. I just want to take a nap. I just want like a week vacation. Everyone's like, yeah, man, I feel that. And then it's like, then why didn't you say that when I asked you, how are you doing? And maybe, I guess I'm stuck in that old mentality of that. It's like, hey Jared, how you doing? I'm doing great, man. I'm living another day in paradise. Hey. And deep down inside, like, I just want to go home. I just want to sleep. I want to play video games. I want to do anything. I want to be lazy. I don't want to shower for 2 weeks. You know, I just want to live in my own filth and just enjoy gaming and being a fucking dirty rat, you know? And I guess the mentality of just not like flaunting everything out there is weird. I hate how everybody kind of throws everything in everybody's face. I think that's what I'm getting at here. I hate that, like, these behaviors that I guess I see, and maybe it's because I'm being force fed a bit of minority. Because have you ever just watched something in amazement? And you're just like, the fuck am I watching here? Like, the fuck is going on? And I just you don't understand it, and then like I guess you get force fed that stuff because you're like, the fuck is happening? I don't understand any of this. And so you get force-fed all this craziness, and I guess that's how the cringe, that's how the algorithm works to be outraged. But I'll never understand TikTok because I don't understand the trends. I don't understand what's going on. I don't get the references that they're making. Like, way back in the day when Natalie and I would make jokes about when we were both on 9gag, and when 9gag was our main source of memes and funnies and you know, hilarity, where we would, you know, like, I would purposely not browse 9gag so she could send me the memes that she would see throughout the day, so I didn't already see them and I could giggle with them right away off of her back, if I could watch the memes and I forget what I'm trying to say here. I was just trying to be polite so that way when she would send me a meme, I wouldn't see it twice. But like, I guess I just don't understand the culture. I don't understand the younger kids these days. I don't understand what the funny things are and what they're really getting after and doing. Because I watch a lot of these little shorts that they do, and I get zero reference. And then that, when your boyfriend, that's stupid fucking digital voice that they do constantly. I want to fucking break it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing it. I don't know. Wow. Okay. Some people just should not do covers of songs. I'm just going to throw that out there. Some people shouldn't do covers of songs. We'll leave it at that. Yeah. But any who's and what's it's. That's my old man rant. That's my old man rant out there, and I guess I'm gonna get off my pedestal now, because I think I have some. Nope. No, I answered all this stuff. I answered all this shit. Yeah, it's been 44 minutes. God, I've talked about so many video games today, haven't I? Can we go to Reddit? Is Reddit gonna work for me? Thank you. You know what? Let's cue the fucking intro, hey. And for those of you that are curious about the... Oh, yeah, hey. Let's do it, hey. It's an old thing where we used to make fun of one of the coworkers when I worked at the cheese factory.
Advice.
I was doing that with Natalie, and she was like, the fuck is Yahe? Why do you keep saying hey and stuff? And I'm like, it's how I talk. It's just what I've been doing. All right, so let's go to Ask Reddit. Let's go to just our Ask and see if we got a good question here. We'll go to Ask Reddit, Ask Men, and then we'll do some stuff. All right, here we go. What jobs do you all have where you get to browse Reddit all day? It seems like the vast majority of people on Reddit are people who are bored at work, surfing Reddit all shift. I want to know how do you get a job like yours? Well, I mean, when you take a website like Reddit and you have a lot of people who like to use the website, just like 9gag or like any other website out there. Like, it was really funny because I posted something up on 9gag that I hadn't seen up there. Like, I hadn't seen it all day. I ran through everything. But there are so many people using the website so much, so often, that it seems like there are a bunch of people that just don't have jobs. And like, maybe I'll take a 20-minute break. You know, when I'm on my lunch at like 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I'll browse Reddit. Like, I'm on Reddit what would almost seem like constantly. But I mean, if you take a look at it, I'm in Central Standard Time, right? And if you're on the East Coast and it's 5 o'clock at night, right? You know, for you, but it's 7 o'clock at night for me, I've already been off of work for an hour. And so I've been just doing what I do. And so that's why I can browse Reddit pretty much all day. Probably shouldn't answer this question, but I'm gonna. What's the difference between a feminist and a radical feminist? What's the difference between a feminist and a radical feminist? So let's do a quick Google search and see what it comes up with. Okay. So a feminist is defined as an advocate of women's rights based on the basis of the equality of the sexes. So when somebody says the equality of the sexes, why don't we do another Google search? Gender equality, also known as sexual equality or equality of the sexes, is a state of equal ease of access to resources and opportunities regardless of gender, including economic participation and decision making, and the state of valuing different behaviors, aspirations, and needs Gender equality, also known as sexual equality or equality of the sexes, is the state of equal ease of access to resources and opportunities, regardless of gender, including economic participation and decision-making, and the state of valuing different behaviors, aspirations, and needs equally, regardless of gender. Yeah, that's never going to happen, though. That's never going to happen. I say that with a bit of things here, because like being now, I guess a feminist is someone who, an advocate of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes. I mean, I guess by that definition, I am a feminist, and I don't want to be that white knight feminist here, because I know what some people are gonna think. But, like, the sexes are equal to me. Like, I'm of the mindset, fuck around and find out. Genuinely, that is my mindset. Fuck around and find out. And I love that mentality, because I fucked around and I found out a few times. And never been punched in the face yet, thank God. I've been slapped a few times, but I've never been punched. I've been kicked in the balls a few times, too. That was glorious. God. Puberty. Anyways. So, like, equality of the sexes, you know, basically, like, one of the things that I had this thought, and maybe I can explain it using this thought pattern that I have. So, I've always had this, I don't want to call it daydream. Albert Einstein used to call them thought experiments. I have this thought experiment that I like to play over and over in my mind. And it's like, what if you had three wishes? What if you were given three wishes? And three of my wishes that I've come down to are the money wish. Basically, I'm given 999 trillion, 999 billion, 999 million, 999,000, $999.99, all of which is U.S. currency that is in my bank that is of legal tender. It's there. Everything's okay. Like, everything's on the up and up. I basically am the richest individual ever to exist. And with all that money, I can do whatever I want. And now I hear all these things about, basically, like, you, when you hire somebody for a job, right? You got to hire so many minority people, so many women, so many this, so many that, so many of everything out there. I'm of the mindset that you'll hire the best candidate. That is what it is in my mind. And I remember when I was in the Air Force, like, we couldn't buy from a supplier that had everything that we needed when we needed, as quickly as we needed. Like, we had this little checklist. Like, I remember looking at one of my tech sergeants. I was like, hey, man, why can't we just order the fucking gear from the people we ordered last time? And he goes, well, because we ordered from them last time. We can't show favoritism. I was like, but it's not favoritism, right? It's they get the fucking job done. They get the job done. And that's what I want, is I want somebody that if I need X, and I know Best Buy's got X, I'm going to go to fuck. I should have gotten the Ethernet cable. Yeah, I should have gotten the long Ethernet cable today. God damn it. I was at Walmart earlier today. I should have just grabbed the Ethernet cable when I grabbed all my drinks and stuff. I'm sipping on a Pedialyte right now. The reason why is because I don't know why. I just can't get hydrated for the last couple of days. So maybe I'm oversaturated. Maybe I have too many electrolytes, whatever. I don't know. But anyways, I'm always of that mindset. Like, whatever gets a job done. And I go, like, I want to go in, like, and I thought of this thing because downtown, there's this open area that is ripe for the picking, right? There's this open area in the city that I live in where there's a bunch of places I could very much build these giant domed structures. I could probably build a very big kind of longhouse open structure to where I could house Helios and Blue and just kind of rescue a couple birds and basically give them this giant aviary to live in, to where, yes, they are my pets. Yes, I am then I'm keeping them enclosed in an area. But I'm also making sure that they have the ability to fly in this massive, massive area. I get them socialization by having a couple of, you know, like, I'm going to adopt like two macaws, you know, that are kind of the same age. I'm going to adopt a couple of the Senegal parrots. Like, I'm going to adopt a couple of birds that legitimately, you know, can form a little flock and live and thrive and do what they do out there, and kind of give them their own little ecosystem, give them good food and shit, and basically kind of let them be themselves. And I was like, I'm going to have to hire people to help me out, right? I'm going to have to hire a first, second, and third shift. I'm going to have to hire security. I'm going to have to do all this, you know, and basically, like, teach these people how to do it. And I remember, like, the hiring process was like, oh, I'll just hire a bunch of, you know, I'll just go to the university that's real close by and be like, hey, is there anyone interested in veterinarian who wants to become a vet, who's interested in avians, you know, come work for me? But then I was like, well, what if it's just a bunch of girls? Because I remember there was a vet place that I would go to get Helios and Blue and all the other birds taken care of. It was there was the animal hospital, and I think it was called Evergreen or something like that, because the local animal hospital lost their avian guy. And then when I went to the Evergreen, it was like all women. It was just like all women that loved birds, and it was like an all women's, like, literally there was not one man there. I think there was one male tech, and that was it. And the rest of the people he worked with were women. And I remember at the local animal hospital here that doesn't do birds anymore, it was mainly women as well too. So it was like, But then would I seem sexist because I only hire women, or because the only people that I hire are ladies? And so I thought about going into it in a blind scenario. You don't give me your name. You don't give me any information. You, when you submit your resume, you literally just give me your work detail. Like, job A was this. Job B was that. These are the jobs that I've done. These are the things that I've done. I don't want your name. I don't want your date of birth. I don't want any of the I don't want any information about you that I could identify your age, your sex, or your gender. I guess, well, sex and gender are kind of the same thing to me. But I don't want anything that would make me assume who you are. I just want somebody who's qualified for the candidacy. And in my eyes, that makes me a feminist, because I'm giving everybody an equal opportunity by not knowing who they are and just hiring the best candidate for the job. Whether they're male or female doesn't bother me whatsoever. I don't care about that. And so that's always kind of been my mindset out there, is that it you know, everybody needs to be treated equal. And I feel like that's what I do to begin with, is that doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, you punch me, I'm going to punch you right back. I mean, I may not, you know, punch you, you know, I may not cock locked and ready to rock fucking to blow your world up, but I'll hit you enough to put you on your ass. Whereas with a dude, I'll go 110%. I'll throw my hip out, you know, trying to punch you in the face or something like that. But radical feminism is described as, is a perspective within feminism that calls for radical reordering of society, in which male supremacy is eliminated in all social and economic contexts, while recognizing that women's experiences are also affected by other social divisions, such as in race, class, and sexual orientation. The ideology and movement emerged in the 60s. I could see it being a real thing back then, but male supremacy being eliminated in social and economic contexts, while reorganizing that women's experiences are also affected by other social divisions, such as in race, class, and sexual orientation. I guess I just don't see what they see. Like, I didn't know that this was a problem. Like, okay, I'll just come out and say it. I can be a bigot sometimes, right? I'm in sales. If I mention that there are individuals out there that will never buy from you the first time you purchase, the first time they talk to you, the first time you give them your sales pitch, they will not buy from you, right? And then all they care about is price. I would say if you ever worked in sales, or if you ever worked with the type of people that I worked with, you and I probably have one of two different types of people in mind. And I'm not going to call it out there, but I'm bigoted towards them. I'm absolutely bigoted towards them. I'm also bigoted to gangsters. Doesn't matter what color you gangster you are, whether you're an Asian Crip, a Black Crip, a white wannabe Crip, whether you're a Blood, because I'm a Latin King through and through. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm bigoted towards all gangsters. Because if I have to physically put forth mental power to translate what you were saying, I don't want to talk to you. You probably have a very skewed view of things. I have, and I think it's great, because like, this is one of the biggest divides in the nation that some people would talk about is the cops, right? The police. I have a very, very skewed sense, or I'm very, very biased. Don't eat that. Don't eat that shit. They toss their food in the ground, leave it on the ground for weeks, cover it in all this other nonsense, and then they try to eat it off the ground like they're fucking lunatics, whatever. So I have this very, very skewed sense of the police, because I can see why a cop would do something, but I also can see why a civilian would do something. And I can understand why both would need to do both. But again, if I look back onto it, there are many times where I'll call a spade, right? If the civilian shouldn't have done that, I'm going to call you out on it and be like, yeah, that's why what happened to you, because you acted in such a mentality that a cop is going to want to react this way, because the 9 times out of 10 that he deals with somebody that does exactly what you just did involves him getting into a hand-to-hand combat with this person. Yes, you may be the minority in the situation where you're not going to have to fight with him, but 9 times out of 10, if somebody does exactly what you did, they get into a scuffle and they get into a fight because that's what happens. You know, when somebody acts as tweaked out as you are, just breathe and relax, because 9 times out of 10, when he's dealing with a tweaker, it's because they're on meth. And people on meth don't make the most rash decisions. I've seen it. You see it in their eyes. They're not right. Something's not right there. And nowadays, you know, I take a look at the social and economic contexts. Like, what social statuses are you not seeing? You know, like, and one thing that I like to go back to is, like, you can make money on the side so easily as a female. Like, show your tits. Dude, show your feet. Dudes will pay a lot of money to see a real pretty feet. And I know I've had my toes painted. Fuck, I've had my fingernails painted right before. You girls do some amazing things out there with like, I felt like a pretty, pretty fucking princess, all right? And, like, I've seen some beautiful feet out there to where, like, there was a moment in time where Jared had an experience with feet that were just, that was pretty, I guess I could call it ethereal. But, like, social and economic context, like, look at Amaranth, right? She's this fucking, she's got the money to do what she needs to do. She's invested. Her portfolio is huge and diverse. Her social status is known throughout so many different people. You know, take a look at Mia Khalifa. She started out as a porn star, and now she's pretty fucking big. And, like, you know, like, she's doing other things that don't just label her as a porn star. So you can definitely make a lot of extra money on the side very, very quickly if you can get people to recognize you and make people sim for you. You know, the experiences that you have are, you know, as affected by social divisions such as race, class, and sexual orientation. I don't really understand the concept of you being a lesbian or you being gay, but you're married to a guy. I don't understand that. I don't, because then that makes you bi. You know? And like, again, to me, I'm a very black and white individual, and this maybe may come from being very black and white, that, like, if you're like, I'm lesbian, then why are you married to a guy? Well, he checks all the boxes. No, then you're bi. If you are attracted to a man and attracted to women, you are bisexual. If you are a lesbian, you are attracted to specifically women. I'm straight as can be. I am absolutely straight as can be. I will compliment another man for looking good. I absolutely will. I am secure enough in my heterosexual mentality that I will compliment another man for looking hot. That doesn't mean I want to go suck his dick in the toilet. You know, I don't want to go in the bathroom and be like, hey man, I don't know if you know this, but I'm straight up bi. No, I will compliment him for looking good, because I can say you look great. But if you're gay, I don't get it. I'll be kind and add asexuality in there, because asexual people, just sex is whatever to them. But, like, race, if you're black, you're black. If you're white, you're white. If you're Asian, you're Asian. If you're Filipino, you're Filipino. If you're Milano, you're Milano. Race doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't. It's how you act. If you act like an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot. I'm gonna call a spade a spade. If you want to act like a fool, act like a fool. There's nothing that I love the clip that Morgan. You know what? God damn it! I just talked about it. 2 seconds. Okay, so just check this out.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? No, well, come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
No. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
how are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You understand what I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know?
I love the shit out of that clip. That is a 60 Minutes interview with Morgan Freeman and Mike Wallace. And I like how Morgan Freeman puts it there. Like, we have to stop. Like, you genuinely just have to stop. Like, there, when you don't see, like, obviously Morgan Freeman is a black man, obviously. But, like, when you take a look at, like, your race, your class, or your sexual orientation, if you have to define somebody as something like that, like, you're just diving too deep into it. I remember I used this one time. My mom was like, she was being stupid, because she was like, I just don't understand gay people. I was like, Mom, what's not to understand? Like, she's like, it's a sin against Christ or whatever. I was like, who the fuck cares? And I straight up asked her. I was like, hey, Mom, what? Like, I was like, let's say you hate meatball sub sandwiches, right? She's like, yeah. So the guy in front of you orders a meatball and sub sandwich. Do you hate that guy now because of what he likes? Well, no, obviously. Then why do you hate gay people? Why do you hate what somebody else does in the comfort of their own home and in their own life? He may be the coolest motherfucker you've ever met. This dude could suck so much dick, it makes porn stars who have been in the industry for 30 years look tame. But he raises... He raises money for charity for the homeless people, and he's built 5 homeless shelters in Houston because of all the advocacy work that he's done. What part of that makes him a bad man? Like, in all honesty, what makes him a bad man? And that's why I guess I don't understand why, like, you need this radical feminism. Like, you probably needed it back in the day. But I mean, your experiences that you have are fucking insane. Like I remember when I was in the dating scene, I would talk to these women, and I always go back to, like, I would treat them with the most common decent courtesies out there, and like, they're, you did that for me? You bought me flowers, or you bought me chocolates, or you opened the car door for me, or you texted me saying that you were going to be a little late, or you did, like, just the most common courtesies that you do for folks, and they're like, you did that for me? And it's like, yeah, why wouldn't I? Do people not do these things? And what it boils down to is that what I feel happens is stereotypes are there for a reason. Stereotypes are there for a reason. And the moment that we stop all acting like a fucking idiot in anything we ever do is the moment that the social divisions such as race, class, and sexual orientation disappear. I mean, women have valid experiences. They have valid experiences all the time, but I think that there is a huge divide when it comes down to sex. Absolutely. There are no men's shelters out there for sexual abuse victims. There are no shelters that will take a man in if he's being physically abused by his woman. Men have a lot higher suicide rates. A lot of men do really, really dirty jobs that need to be done. And I feel like there are obvious differences between men and women that we will never be able to get over. You will never, I mean, I remember the one time that, you know, one of the girls, I told the story before where I was basically a 250-pound dummy weight against these two girls who trained in MMA. Now, you want to talk about, like, oh, men, women are just as strong as men. The two girls had to put in so much effort to beat me that me as a 250-pound man. Now, these were women in the military. These were cop women in the military. So they were at least semi-competent and semi-trained, and they had to work out because they had to fight men like me on a daily basis. And I remember the first few bouts that I had with my sergeant and one of the girls that I fought with. Basically, I held my own for quite a bit. I was able to hold my own for a wee little standing, right? And I was able to do A-OK. Chill. It's fine. Chill. And it wasn't until I was super tired that they were good to go, and their cardio was much better than me, and they were getting rest in between each match. But if I would put forth just a little bit of extra effort, I would have been able to easily defeat them. Hands down, bar none. So, you know, I got a point there. I forget what it is. Ah, yes. The point that I was going to make is that when it comes to certain things, women are always going to have an upper hand in society because of reasons. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. There's nothing inherently dangerous about it. There's nothing negative about it. But I just kind of almost feel like there are things that we are just never going to be able to break away from, just simply given so many facts. I think a radical feminist is just an idiot. I think it was needed back in the 60s and 70s and maybe even into the 80s and 90s. But with what I was talking about, being that grumpy old man, right? Like, we're being phased out. The staunch grumpy old men are absolutely 100% being phased out. So what's the difference between a feminist and a radical feminist? I think one has the ideology that we are headed towards the equality of things, that things are changing as we go. And I think one is a wannabe gangster of an old relic era who is fighting for something that is not really there. Because if you take a look at a lot of different things, especially when it comes to sexual orientation as well as class, you could probably find a lot of differences where women have the upper hand, especially with certain things. And I have quite a few cases, and if you want to debate me on it, let's go. I'll go into it unprepared. I'll go into it unprepared. So to define what a radical feminist is a relic of the past, and a feminist is somebody who looks forward to the future, knowing full and well that that we are on the right track to basically be equal, even though I already see men and women as equals, to the best of their abilities. Ooh, this is a good one. Men of Reddit on dating apps, what's something you see in a woman's profile that instantly turns you off? My kids are my world. You have no other personality besides your kids are your world. Your children are literally your personality. Yeah, my kids come first. That's a given. I don't contact first. That's a massive red flag. Absolutely. If you specifically hate that, if you state that you hate drama, the entertain me, that's a good one. If you put 5 consecutive group photos with absolutely no clear direction on who the person is in the common thread, it's always the fat one. It's absolutely always the fat one. DM me on Instagram. Nope. You better be good at holding a conversation. Nope. Hard pass. I'm not on here much. Yeah. Add me to Instagram, TikTok. Like literally just go on a dating, just seriously. Like, if you were ever curious about what it's like being a man on a dating app, go on, just change your gender to male, right? Go on to Tinder, change your gender to male, check out all the women's profiles. Literally, it's the same goddamn thing. It is the same fucking thing. And it's the same thing on men's side too. Like, here in Wisconsin, it's, dude, you would be, oh my God, the amount of people that are like, do you hunt? I'm like, no, I don't. Do you fish? Like, every so often, but it's not like my personality. Like, I don't have to go fishing. Like, I've got the gear to do it. Why? Do you want to go fishing? And they're like, no, I just can't believe you don't have a dead animal in your photo. You're not hunting or fishing. It's like, yeah, because I do other shit. I video game. I disc golf. I go for walks. I play with my birds. Like, there are so many other things that I do that don't define me. Like I'll put myself into that box. I fucking hate drama, but I love hearing about it. I'm a gossip whore. Tell me all of the drama that is going on in your life, in your buddy's life, in somebody else's life. But if it starts to involve me, I don't want to fucking be a part of it. So yeah, like there's a lot of different things, you know, that like literally all you gotta do is go onto a dating profile of a woman and literally just take a look at it, and you will 100% go, this is what it's like being on a dating profile. And you're like, uh-huh. And so any woman that's got this profile, you pretty much swipe left on. Uh-huh. So your dating pool is like 5 women. Uh-huh. And like 2 of them are fat and stupid. Uh-huh. And then the other two are skinny and retarded. Uh-huh. And the other one is insane, but she lives 100 miles away and she's got three kids and her kids are her life. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, so you have like nobody you want to pick from. Uh-huh. It's the best, you know, so like that's kind of it. Yeah. Oh, everybody hates me until they need me. What professions are examples of this? IT. 100% IT. You are given $1,000 cash every day, but anytime you need to poop, you have to use a public restroom. You're given $1,000 cash every day, but anytime you need to go to the bathroom, you have to use a public restroom. I think I could deal with that. I think I could absolutely deal with that. Because if I'm given $1,000, right? If I'm given $1,000, I would just order a porta potty and just put it in the back of the house. Like, I just order a porta potty. Technically, porta potties are a public restroom. So yeah, I would just order a porta potty. That's life hack. Life hack 101. Porta potties are public restrooms. Or what I do is I just use the restroom that my landlord has got, because I know that's a public restroom. I'd basically pay somebody to break into that and make a key for me, and then I could use that bathroom whenever I wanted. Crisis averted. Look at that. Ooh, what obscure smell would you buy a candle of? Honey buns? Macaroni and cheese, maybe? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of good smells out there. Ooh. Fresh baked bread. Fresh baked bread, 100%. 100%. What is wrong to be proud of? Any crimes that you commit. Or, yeah, having or faking a disorder or anything. I gotcha. All right, so we did the Ask Reddit, and then Ask Men. Let's finish it off with a man question for you, Mark. Thinking of you. Men of Reddit, what was a time when you thought a woman was giving you obvious signals, but turns out that wasn't the case? Oh my god. Oh my god, I had a good one. I got a good one. So there's this girl that was on a dating. So this is when I learned. There's actually two. Wait, what? What game? So anyways, sorry, Ray's had messaged me. Anyways, so any who's and what's it. Okay, so get this. So there's two dates. There was two dates that I went on, and I'm. So okay, I'll tell you both. What was the time when you thought a woman was giving obvious signals, but it turns out that wasn't the case? So there's this girl that I picked up, and I was talking to her on plentyoffish.com way back in the day. Plenty of Fish was a dating website before your Tinders and your Bumbles and all that other stuff. You had to physically go to a website, create a whole profile on a website, and it was basically MySpace but for dating, right? MySpace or I guess Facebook for dating. And I remember I talked to her a lot. We had a lot of great conversations. She said that she was looking for a relationship. She was looking for fun. Picked her up, went out, watched a movie, had dinner, played a little bit of mini golf. Like, had a cool-ass afternoon, had a cool-ass evening. And then at the end of it, I was like, I'd really like to hang out with you again. This was fun. She was like, yeah, it was fun. And so I leaned over to kiss her, and she goes, whoa, I'm sorry. What are you doing? I was like, I thought this was a date. And she's like, no, I'm just here for friends. I was like, you're on a dating website, though. You're on a dating website. We had a lot of conversations. You wanted to hang out with me. Like, what am I missing here? She's like, oh, I'm just looking for friends. I was like, why are you looking for friends on a dating website? The whole point of being on a dating website is to date people. Well, I want to be friends first. Well, yeah, that's what the dates are for. You find out if you like the person. And then if you like the person, you get mutually, like, you... I was like, that's weird. And then this other girl, we were on the dating website, and I was like, we were talking about a couple of games, and we both had Xboxes, and she had a TV or whatever. And this is back when I lived on base, and like we were talking about shit, and like she was getting like all prepped and ready, she was getting super excited, and like we were chatting it up hardcore, and then she's like, I think you might be looking for something else. I was like, well, what do you mean something else? Like, you're going to come over and play video games with me, right? Like, this is going to be our first date. And she's like, yeah, date. And I was like, yeah, you're on a dating website. If you're on a dating website, Helios, if you're on a dating website, why are you looking for friends? And so that's a time where I thought a woman was giving me super obvious signals. I was 100% thought these women were totally into me, and they were most definitely not into me. And it was just simply because, you're on a dating website. You act like you're going to date somebody. You act like you're really excited about shit and you want to hang out. You think I'm really cool. You really enjoy me. You compliment me. You do all these things. And then you're like, yeah, we just want to be guys. And it's just like, the fuck. So yeah, anyways, you know what? I guess I got another 10 minutes. I can answer this here. How does one stop being a quote nice guy and start becoming a good man? This is tiffy. This is toughy. I mean, the nice guy is where, because the nice guy mentality, it's not that women owe them sex or women owe them anything, but I think women are taking advantage of you for being the nice guy. And make your intentions clear from the beginning. That is one way that you can become a good man by not being a nice guy. It's just make your intentions clear from the beginning by basically going, look, you're a cute girl. I think you're really nice. I think you're beautiful. I would like to pursue dating you. Like, I want this relationship to progress, to date you. Like, that's where I want to be. I want to pursue a physical, intimate, and emotionally, an emotionally in-depth relationship with you. And if the guy or the gal, responds to you with, well, I don't see you that way, then pretend that they're just a friend. Like, don't tell them, like, oh, that sucks, or whatever. Be like, oh, that's shitty. Well, all right. Well, have a good rest of your day then. And then, you know, if they're like, hey, do you want to hang out and stuff and like that? And you're like, yeah, sure, we could go hang out. And then, you know, if like, they're like, let's go play mini golf. You know, I know you like mini golf. Let's go play mini golf. You go to mini golf. You're like, hey, mini golf. I'll take one, please. You know, I'll take a round of mini golf. And she's like, oh, you're not going to pay for me? And be like, no, you're friends. You know, that's nice girl behavior. If you're my date and you're willing to date me, I'm going to treat you to things. But if you're just my friend, like, you know, I treat my friends every once in a while to things. I'll treat my friends every once in a while to something. I will, you know, don't get me wrong. I'll treat my friends to things every once in a while. But like, if you bring up to me that you want to go mini golfing with me or that, you know, you want to come along for something, I'm always of the mindset that if you're just a friend, you're paying your own way. Unless I specifically go like, hey, Alex, let's go to Burger King. He's like, ah, man, I'm kind of broke. And I was like, I didn't say anything about paying. I said, let's go to Burger King. Right. You know, that's kind of the mentality that I think some Helios is playing with one of the plants that I have sitting over by him, because I've taken over the area. He's very intrigued by it. He doesn't really understand it. He's getting inquisitives. I like it. But yeah, that's kind of my mentality, is that if you want to stop the nice guy, stop pretending like women owe you something, and literally make your intentions up front. If you got this girl and you're friends with her and you're like, hey, I would like to transition this into a dating thing because I think you're really cute. I like you a lot. I would like to, you know, make this an emotional, physical, and a mental attachment kind of thing, to where we can get intimate with each other in all three different realms. And if she's like, sure, we can try. All right, cool. If she's like, no, I like just being friends, then continue to treat her as a friend. Don't treat her as you would the girlfriend. Because the moment you start treating a woman like she's your girlfriend, or the moment you start treating your guy, because I guess this goes for both sexes, if you start treating somebody like they are your significant other as a friend, that's their standard of friendship for you. And you have to draw that clear boundary to where you're a good man. They'll see how well you treat your significant, like, so let's say you get a significant, like, let's say you do find a significant other, right? You find that significant other. You start hanging out with them. You start dating them. You start doing all these nice things for them. Your significant other becomes a part of the group, and they gush to all your other friends that are of the same sex that you are. Or that, yeah, so like if you get a girlfriend, right, and she becomes a part of the friend group, and then all your girlfriends are like, man, you know, Tiffany says you're doing a lot of really sweet things for her. Why wouldn't you ever do those things with me? Or it's like, I remember when you used to do those things for me, and you're like, yeah, because I wanted to date you, and then you didn't want to date me, so you don't get those privileges. You don't get the privileges of dating me. You don't get the privileges of me acting like you're my significant other if you're not dating me. If you don't reciprocate feelings, like a big one for me, if you don't tell me that you love me, if you don't show me forms of affection, you don't talk to me and give me that mental, physical, or emotional connection that I can have with somebody, and you want me to give it all to you, but you don't return it to me, there's going to be a real quick, fast decline and a whole lot of fun shit out there to where I'm going to stop saying I love you. I'm going to stop giving you praises. I'm going to stop flirting with you. I'm going to stop giving you all the little ins and outs and all the other shit that you look for and that you're interested in and that you want. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do it. And it upsets me thoroughly when guys are like, how do we stop being the nice guy? Stop fucking treating women like they're your significant other, because they're not. You treat them like a normal friend would. And if you don't know how to treat a woman like a friend, pretend they're a dude. Absolutely, pretend like they're a guy. And that's all you gotta do, is just pretend like they're a guy. And if, you know, that's the biggest thing. I would also venture to guess, or to say, that if you wanted to look into certain things, just like ask your dude friends how they would like to be treated. The other thing that I would do as well for you too is, you know, that's how you're gonna become a good man. And set those boundaries and just make them clear. So yeah, set boundaries, make them clear, and don't expect women to give you anything. So there you go. Well, if you want to find more content of this, and you actually like how I do things here, head on over to the Evil Mark Show. So the Super Bowl is over and done with. The Chiefs have won, and by the time you listen to this, we're gonna have a little bit of a different setup going on. Mark and I, we're going to have a little bit of a different setup on how we do the Evil Mark Show. A lot of people have liked the random nonsense that we go off of. We'll probably fit a little bit of sports trivia and a little bit of dumb stuff in there. But like, it's mainly just going to be kind of just your normal nonsensical, just kind of like, it's going to be Feathers and Friends 1.5. That's essentially what this episode, what this is going to turn into be, is Feathers and Friends 1.5 is what the Evil Mark Show is sounds like it's going to turn into be. So come hang out at the Evil Mark Show. If you're from the Evil Mark Show and you found me, thank you for listening to me. I hear a lot of you guys like the episodes. The numbers don't reflect that a bunch of you fucking lunatics are listening to me. So if you're from the Evil Mark Show, or you're from File Entertainment, or if you're even from Susius or My Favorite, knowing that I am the editor now, I really appreciate you. I really thank you. And I hope that you guys are having a great day. I apologize about the lunatics in the background today. I thought I'd do a very special episode where me and the boys hang out for the day, and we chit-chat and we talk about all the dumb stuff that we talk about. And so I'm going to take us off and out of here. I hope that you had a great Valentine's Day, even though I know that this is going to come out a lot later than Valentine's Day. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I just wanted to say that I love you. You're worth it. Till next time. Bastos, motherfuckers. I still don't know what Bessos means. Time to get on the bed, get my dick sucked. Let's go to the bedroom, honey.